Let me give you some stories now, because now I cannot quote you the books of Hadith anymore, because obviously I'm talking to you about Amal of Sahaba that they did after the Prophet passed away. So now, I took Bukhari along as long as I could. It is all you know, the book of Bukhari is by and large, every now and then he does mention like this one I would manage to give you, but otherwise the book of Bukhari mentions Hadith of the Prophet, not Amal of the Sahaba, right? Hafiz ibn Kathir, rahimahullah ta'ala, student of Hafiz ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah ta'ala, a very famous Mufassir Muhaddith, all of you heard of him, has written a famous book called Bidayah wa Nihayah, which is basically a history book or the books of biographies. In that he writes about Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, that Sayyidina Umar would pray Isha with the people, then enter his home and not stop praying, not cease praying until Fajr. And he did not die before he acquired the habit of fasting permanently. This is an issue that some people also say, they talk about bidah and ibadat, that people do more ibadat than the Prophet. And they will say, are you trying to outdo the Prophet? So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu prayed all night from Isha to Fajr. The Prophet didn't do that. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu fasted every day. Dua musa'i. The Prophet didn't do that. So if doing something that bazahir quantitatively is more than the Prophet is going against his sunnah, then you should first accuse Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu of this. You should accuse Ibn Kathir for not negatively commenting upon this. And you should accuse every single biographer of Sayyidina Umar who has not negatively commented on this. And did not bring this to our attention, that you cannot try to outdo the Prophet. The niyat is not to outdo, and the hakikat is you can never outdo the Prophet. You, if you spent 24 hours a day in sajda from now to the moment you died, you still wouldn't outdo him. That's a bazaar, you would say, that in terms of your sujood, maybe you were more in quantity, but there's no concept of outdoing. Then in Sahih Muslim, narrated by Abdullah Mawla Asma bint Abi Bakr, that in this Sahih Muslim also has a few aqwal of the Sahaba, that Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu told Sayyidina Asma radiallahu anhu about himself that he observes continuous fasting year round. Right? Ibn Qudama al Maqdisi al Hanbali writes in Al Mughni that Abu Talha radiallahu anhu used to fast every day for 40 years. Again, this is called to fast perpetually. Right? Now what happens here is that people comment on this hadith, right? So Imam An-Nawi, well, I was telling you that first one was a Muslim. Imam An-Nawi is the greatest alim of Sahih Muslim. The greatest sharah written, the greatest commentary in the Sahih Muslim is written by Imam An-Nawi Ash-Shafi, who also chose to ascribe himself to one madhab, one usul. He writes in commenting that Sayyidina Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu fasted permanently, except, it means obviously, except the days of Eid and Tashriq. These are days when it's not allowed to fast. These are days in which his extra worship would be khilaf ishara. So he's going to do something new, something extra, something that is not sunnah, but something that is not bidat, but he's not going to do it to the extent that it becomes khilaf ishara. Because the Prophet said that you should not fast on these days because you are the guests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So you have this understanding in Sahaba that what is the border? The border is not precedent in the sunnah. The border is don't do something that is khilaf to the sharia. Imam An-Nawawi writes this, Abdullah ibn Umar, about that statement mentioned in Sahih Muslim. Right? This is the sharah of Sahih Muslim by Imam An-Nawawi. And Ibn Qudama al-Maqdisi in the earlier quote that I mentioned to you says the same thing in Mughni about the other sahaba that I mentioned to you. Ibn Hajar al-Haythami, Shafi, says the same thing about Abu Hanifa, that he used to fast perpetually. Alright? Okay. Then, we move to another issue, which is this issue which some of you had asked me about the tasbih, right? Now this is a very issue that can you use a tasbih or not? So, definitely the Prophet did not use a tasbih, right? But I've already shown you from all of these examples that the fact that the Prophet did not do something, if you do it, doesn't make it bidat. because I've shown you the Sahaba doing things that the Prophet didn't do. But still, we would have some tasalli if we felt that there were some people amongst the Salaf who did these things. So Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, one of the greatest and most numerous rawi, narrators of a hadith, possessed a tasbih of 2,000. And for him it was a rope which had 2,000 knots in it, or some type of string. The knots were the tasbih. 2,000. And he would not sleep until he had used it for dhikr. And he would say, and this has been narrated in the Sunan of Al-Bihaqi. Imam Al-Bihaqi is also Muhaddith, also Shafi'i. Right? And also narrated by Ibn Hazm Al-Zahri in his Al-Mahalla. And that he would say that verily, this quote, verily I make tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every day according to my qadr 12,000 times. So this use of tasbih, the number, use of tasbih, the Prophet didn't do it. Doing it 12,000 times, the Prophet didn't do it once. And this doing it every day, these are kulla yawmin, to set for yourself a daily habit of zikr, and to set a quantity for that daily zikr, and to do that same quantity every single day, has been accepted as the practice of Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu by Imam al-Bayhaqi al-Shafi, mentioned by Imam Ibn Hazm al-Zahri in al-Mahalla, and mentioned by Imam al-Dhahabi al-Hanbali in the Sir al-Allama al-Nubala. So Shafi, Hanbali and Zahri. If you've noticed, by the way, if those of you have been watching me carefully, I've never said Hanafi yet. I've not quoted a single Hanafi source to you yet. I probably won't, actually. Right? So what did we just establish? Doing a new zikr that the Prophet ﷺ never did. Setting an amount for that zikr. Doing that same prescribed amount every day and using a type of tasbih, which was the knots, the knotted rope or string or whatever it was, to count that time. That means you're doing ihtimam of the adab. Otherwise, why would you need to even have somebody stitch some rope with you or whatever it was that had so many knots on it? Right? Unless you felt that there was some need to do ihtimam of that adab, and that is the adab, the quantity and number that has not been set anywhere in the sunnah. And who is doing this? Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And who is accepting and saying is doing it? Shafi Muhaddith, Hanbali Muhaddith and Faqih, and even a Zahiri Faqih Ibn Hazm al-Zahiri. Alright? Okay. I think that one is enough, otherwise I have here about Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahimahullah. His life, I'm giving you examples from the Khalaf, just so you see. Right? That this is something that they took also. Just to show you that Khalaf means people after the first few generations. These are not isolated things and nobody picked up on them. Ibn Hajar Asqalani had a very famous student, Imam al-Sakhawi. He was his top student. And Imam al-Sakhawi wrote a biography about him called Al-Jawahir wa Durra, the jewels and the pearls on the life of Ibn Hajar Asqalani. And he writes in that his sheikh, his ustad, Imam Ibn Hajar Asqalani, always carried a subah, which is what you call tasbih, in his hand at all times. Ibn Hajar Asqalani, the greatest alim of Bukhari, carried a tasbih in his hand at all times, as narrated by his universally acknowledged senior student Imam al-Sakhawi, in a book that everybody agrees was ascribed to Imam al-Sakhawi properly. About Batai. اب جس نے صحیح بخاری کے اوپر اوپر سے ترجمہ پڑھ لیا وہ فتوی لگائے تسبیح خلاف اور ابن حجر اسقلانی عالم بخاری وہ خود تسبیح روز ہاتھ میں think about these are things to think about all right